Towards the end of Parshas Korach, we read that even after the earth opened up and swallowed Korach and his cohorts, and thereby proving that Moshe and Aharon were indeed Hashem's choice for leadership, there remained a sense of skepticism among the people. There was a sense that Klal Yisrael wasn't truly convinced, particularly regarding Aharon's role as the Kohen Gadol. So to reassure the people, the Ribbono Shel Olam instructed Moshe to do some sort of competition. Take 12 staffs, one per shevet, and leave them in the Mishkan overnight, and I will perform a miracle and make one of them blossom. In the morning, when you return to examine the staffs, the person with the matah that indeed blossomed, I will anoint him as the Kohen Gadol. And that should settle the score for all eternity. In the morning, when the Nesi'im returned back to the Mishkan, they saw that it was indeed a Aharon's stick that blossomed, while the others remained barren. And that resolved any doubt. And the Torah concludes this episode with a very strange statement. Ve'ichu ishmatehu. All of the Nesi'im took back their staffs. And the question is, why did they do that? There was a competition between 12 leaders. Aharon won. The other 11 lost. Why would they want to hang on to their sticks? Every time they would look at their stick, it would actually remind them of losing. This is comparable to, let's say, you attend a Chinese auction, and there's a raffle for a trip to Eretz Yisrael. So 500 people buy a ticket, hoping to be the lucky winner. At the end of the night, they pull the winning ticket out of the box, and they announce the winner, but the 499 losers go over to the box and try to scoop up their losing ticket. It's a worthless piece of paper. So the question is, why did the Nesi'im take back their staffs? Herr Zalman Sirotskin, in his Sefer Zna'im LaTorah, offers a very powerful idea. He says, living the life of a Kohen or a Levi was not easy. He didn't own any property in Eretz Yisrael. He constantly had to come on to others for his sustenance. It was a life of hardship and poverty. But despite the difficulties, they all wanted to win the competition and become part of the chosen Shevet. They would not resent such a lifestyle. They would wear it like a badge of honor, because they were among the Shevet chosen by Hashem. It was worth more to them than all of the riches, all of the real estate in the world. So after they lost, they went back to the Mishkan and they picked up their staff. And they took it home and framed it. And they hung it up on the wall in the living room next to the picture of Avraham Avinu. They gathered their family around the table. And they told them, Kinderlichtaira, look at that staff. You know what that represents? I was in a competition to become part of Shevet Levi. I was willing to give up everything to become part of the chosen Shevet. You see this beautiful house? You see all of these beautiful paintings? You see all of these expensive antiques? I was willing to give all of this up for a chance to do the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. My proudest possession is this staff. This staff says that I know what is important in life and what is trivial. I know that all of my riches, all of my physical possessions, pale in comparison to the job that Shevet Levi got. And that is why they all took home their staffs. What a beautiful idea for Reb Zalman Sirotskin. Not every person is zoiche to be a Rav or a Shishiva or earn their livelihood in the field of chinuch. But we need to demonstrate to our children where ideally we would have liked to be, even if it was not meant to be. What we have to convey to them is what is truly important to life. It's not my beautiful summer home or the latest model luxury car in the driveway. It's the time that I get to learn Torah and do mitzvahs and educating my children. There's a story told about a man who lived in New York in the beginning of the 20th century. And he raised a beautiful family with happy and healthy and frum children. Each one a gem, one greater than the next. They once asked his son, tell us a little bit about your childhood. He said, when my father came to America, it was extremely difficult for a Jew to hold on his job. Every Monday morning, just like many other Jews, because he didn't show up for work on Shabbos, he would walk into work and the boss would hand him a pink slip. And he was shown the door, never to come back again. My father came home beaming with a huge smile on his face. And he would show us his pink slip and thank the Ribbono Shel Olam for allowing him to keep Shabbos again, instead of giving in and going to work. He would then daven to find a new job, and he would head out looking for a new job. This happened week after week. Every year, when sukkahs came around, my father built a sukkah, and after the sukkah was complete, he took out the bag where he kept all of his pink slips. He picked each one of them up, and he kissed it, and he proudly decorated the walls of our sukkah with them. And he told us, "You see these pink slips? This is my nicest noise sukkah." Those pink slips hanging on the wall of a sukkah was his matter. Just like the Nesiim, he displayed them proudly. He lived a life of hardship, but he surely understood what is important in life. And now, we know. Have a wonderful day.